Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And today's word is a great word. And the word that God gave me early this morning is, let us love each other and do good. Simple and reasonable. Let us love each other and do good. And that's what we're going to talk about today in our word. This is New Testament Sunday and Psalm and Proverbs. But today, first, before we get started in our word, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, we are rejoicing in it, for you have given us an opportunity for a do-over. You have given us an opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday. Father God, I lift up this word and ask you to please increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your son who gave up his life for me, a sinner, saved by his mercy, saved by his grace, saved by his blood, saved because he went to the cross for me. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. And I praise you, Lord. And I thank you, Savior, for saving a wretch like me. And it's in your name I pray, Christ Jesus, with a humble heart, thanking you for your sacrifice. Amen. We all have been down that road. Not perfect. In transition, thanking God for new opportunities, thanking God for his grace, and thanking God us. The Lord doesn't have to like us, doesn't have to love us, but he does. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord today. But we're going to go back over our Friday word and come and do some life lessons and some reflections of that word. And then we'll get into our word today. And just some overview. Of these life lessons, the first is from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 14. You shall not have in your house different measures, a large or a small, our lives. Not only our religious duties, but our civic ones as well. We are to live all of our lives for his glory. And we went and looked at our 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Deuteronomy 26 and 7, we cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction. We all know that the children of Israel were enslaved, and some of us can understand that because our ancestors were also enslaved, but God is all I can say. And it says, it is good to remember and to declare to others how the Lord has rescued us. These remembrances strengthen our faith and give us the courage to endure in difficult times. Can y'all say with me, praise the Lord? Because it makes you stronger to know that your ancestors survived. History unknown is history repeated. You got to know who you are and where you come from. And be grateful to God that he loves you enough that he saved you, that he changed the course of your destiny. Praise God. Deuteronomy 26 and 11, you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. Why is it so important to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you? Rejoicing in God is a powerful way to draw close to him, which is the very reason he created us. Give God glory. Give God praise. You know, and it's not about stuff. But when you get a car, whether it's a brand new car or it's a hoopty, whatever you get, thank God and rejoice in it because it's more than you have. Come on now. Thank God for your for his mercy. Thank God for his love. And it's time to get ourselves together. And I'm speaking to me. I can't talk about anybody but myself. But I know I got some things I got to do to show God my appreciation for my blessings and for his grace and his love toward me. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our word in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 2 to 3, you shall tell large stones. And let's go down to that word. I want to read it all and not just a recap of it. And it says this. I'm in the right chapter here. Verses 2. And it says, and I'm going to go to verse 1. Now Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today, and it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. And it says, this may be the first billboard in history. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. God did not want his people to forget his law, so he commanded them to put it in full public view. How do you remind yourself to remember God's law? I remember God's law because I think about Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. When God said to do something, we got to do it. You know, and one of the things God has told us to do is love each other. You know, it's too much hatred going on, too much vilifying and condemnation. Let us love each other and do good. Jesus gave us the beatitude. We want to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, but we got to love each other, care about each other, because we all understand that there's a balance between blessings, there are curses. Between blessings, there are curses. If you don't do this, if you do this, you're blessed. If you do this, you're cursed. I don't want curses in my life. And I don't want curses in any of your lives. We've got to ask God for the blessings. But we got to do what God says do, which is to follow his commandments to get the blessings. Deuteronomy 27:15, all the people shall answer and say, amen. Congregational response is a powerful way to cement in our minds the requirements and words of God. Our faith is never a solitary business, but is meant to grow in community. We got to stand up and say who we belong to. I belong to the Most High. He is my daddy. Speak it. Say it. Know who you are and who you belong to. My daddy created the heavens and the earth. My daddy breathed the breath of life into me. My daddy is the creator of everything. You know, don't allow the enemy to come and try to take your voice. You know, just then, as I'm speaking of my daddy, all of a sudden, I felt this tightness in my throat. The devil is a lie, and ain't no truth in it. I know who my daddy is, and his name is Jehovah. He is my daddy. He is Elohim. He is the Father and Creator of everything. We got to speak it and know it and thank him that you are blessed beyond measure to be children of God, and that he does give you overflow. When you say, Lord, overflow, he overflows. But you got to get your overflow in order. Hallelujah. And I know that's a word from me, not for y'all, that's from me. Taking God seriously is another life example from our words on Friday. It says throughout the Bible, there are two kinds of pronouncements that God makes. The first kind of God's absolute declaration. God makes an absolute declaration when he tells us what he will do. As a rule, these acts of God are absolutely independent of any involvement on our part. They are absolute promises that God will see accomplished regardless of our input. For example, God promised our salvation through an absolute declaration. God said in Jeremiah 31, verses 33 to 34, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. God provides salvation for us when we had no power to ask for it, Romans 5 and 8. Therefore, God's provision of salvation was made through an absolute declaration. And we're going to go over real quick to Jeremiah 31 to 33. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34. And in my book, my Bible that I'm looking at, it's the NIV version, but it has it's a rainbow Bible. And it kind of gives you what that particular word falls into. And when we go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34, it is blue. And blue is salvation. And when you go to this salvation word, it says, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Give their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. An absolute, and it's called salvation. And when we go to Romans 5 and 8, again, Romans 5 and 8, and yes, I am working this word this morning. And I am reading not from the prompter on the computer, but from the word of God. Sometimes you got to hold on, touch it, and feel it. And that's what I'm doing this morning, touching and feeling the word, because it just does something to my spirit. And when we look at this, it's green. And green is love in my rainbow Bible. And when we go to this love word in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. Actually, it's also a salvation word. Forgive me, y'all, because love comes right after it. But we're going to go from salvation to love back to salvation. And we're going to start at verse number 5 in Romans 5. So we're going to go to 5:5, and it says this. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly die, dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then this love word that comes out is, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Woo! What a word. King God, seriously. And it says the second count of proclamation God makes is conditional statement. This declaration invites us into an active relationship with God. For example, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2, God is speaking to the nation of Israel and getting them ready to go into the promised land. God says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, the people of Israel had some input into the outcome. They had a choice in the matter. They could either obey and receive God's blessings, or they could rebel against God and endure his wrath. And I'm going to add and get the curses. Regardless of whether his promise is conditional or absolute, God will always do exactly what he says he will do. God will always keep his word to us. Unfortunately, we are living in an age when people don't really believe that. Our society often doesn't take God very seriously. However, we are believers most earnestly believe that God will do as he says without exception. I'll say it again. We as believers must earnestly believe that God will do as he says without exception. Joshua 23:14 proclaims, you know in all your heart and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. Be assured his word will never fail you. And I say today, God's word will never fail us. And all he asks of us is to love each other. That's it. Love each other. Therefore, today and every day, take God seriously and trust him for whatever he has promised. He will certainly reward your obedience and you'll never be disappointed. Wow, what an awesome overview. And as we go continue in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 to 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. God left no doubt about the kinds of blessings in store for those who obey him. No matter where we live, what we do, or where we go, if we obey God's commandments, we can be assured of his blessings. Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. God spoke these words to a people about to learn about the danger of enemies. Yet he assured them and us today that no enemy can withstand his passion in standing up for those who belong to him. Do you belong to God? I am grateful to be his daughter. I am grateful to be a child of the Most High God. And as we continue in our overview of Deuteronomy and life lessons, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. What the Lord has not given to his people Israel, he has given to members of the church, to those in whom the Spirit of God dwells. And we're going to go over to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to go to verse number 26. So please join me in my little rainbow Bible. Orange. And orange is discipleship. And it says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Whew, that's a word. And then we go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. In the New Testament, in Ephesians. I'm going to go to chapter 1, verse 18. And again, we're talking discipleship. And it says this, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And I read verses 15 through 18. Paul gives thanks for the Ephesians. And when we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. God withholds many pieces of information from us. That is his right, but he reveals everything we need to know in order for us to live holy and joy-filled lives. Our daddy has not forgotten this. And as we go to our last life lesson from our Deuteronomy overview, says the Lord your God will make you abound, but the Lord will again rejoice over you for good. The Lord loves to rejoice over his people for good, not to pronounce curses over them for their punishment. Whether we receive the blessing or the judgment of God is up to us. Obedience matters. God must judge sin, and believers are not exempt in this world. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 5. We're going to go to verses 1 through 6. And in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we're talking about evil and sin. And it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. After 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said, tell me, is the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said, fire to test the spirit of the Lord. Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they are carrying you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church, and all heard about these events. Don't have to lie. Just lied like it was nobody's business to God. And I read the story of Ananias and Sapphira and being judged for lying. We'll go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And looking at verse 17, and we may go a little farther than 17. if God permits. And it says this in verse 17. And we're talking faith. And it says this, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? But I'm going to go back up to verse number 16 to get this all in context. And we're going to go down to verse 19. And it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. But it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinners? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's a word this morning. And as the word says, as we finish up our overview this morning, God saves us not so that we can sin with impunity, but so that we can obey with joy. What a word this morning. Already, it's been a teaching word today from Deuteronomy, just to give an overview of what we studied on Friday. And now let's get into our today's word, and we are coming out of Psalm chapter 39. And it says this, and we'll be in chapter 39, verses starting at verse 7 through verse 13. No, actually, that's not quite true. Through 40, verse 5. So join me in Psalm chapter 39. Get over there. I'll get there in a minute. I'm switching Bibles as I'm speaking, so please forgive the delay. It's because I'm going to a different Bible than my child's family one. So we're in NIV this morning, and we are in Psalm 39, verses 7 through chapter 40, verse 5. And starting at verse number 7, and it says, But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I come by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me that I may enjoy life again before I depart and am no more. And that was a Psalm of David. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cries. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. I got it. That's a highlightable. We need to put that in our heart and put it in your arsenal. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Wow, what a word this morning. Woo, I'm all filled up, y'all. I'm just all filled up. God's word is a love story to us. God loves us more than we even know, more than we love ourselves. Our Father loves us. What an amazing Father we have. And some life lessons from this Psalm 39 word. And it says this in Psalm 39:11. Surely every man is vapor. Every man is breath. Life passes with lightning speed. We are on this earth for only a short time. So we must be diligent to live wisely and well. We may appear before God tomorrow, so let us live for him today. As my pastor always says, you don't have to be old to God. And that you live every day as if it's your last. Treat the Lord with the respect that is due God. Let him love on you as you love him back with a pure heart and a heart filled with love. And as we go to Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, it says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Waiting is just a fact of life when it comes to our prayer lives. Sometimes God answers prayers immediately, but other times he makes us wait to see the answer. When we wait for him, we show that we trust him. Hallelujah. Are you waiting on God today? Are you waiting on God today? We got to keep trusting him. We got to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And our proverb word this morning is coming out of Proverbs chapter 13 through verse 10. And it's starting at Proverbs verse 4 to verse 10. And it says this, a sluggish appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false. I always say we just hate lying. But the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. Righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One person pretends to be rich yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor but yet has great wealth. A person's riches may ransom their life, but the poor cannot respond to threatening rebuke. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Can you take constructive criticism, or do you get all upset and want to know who they are trying to tell you what to do? They not your mama, they not your daddy, they not this and that, but always up in your business trying to tell you this and that. No, you got to take a breather and take a moment. God put somebody in your life that is willing to tell you about yourself. God does that. You know, you may know that you're not doing right, but God will send somebody to say, you got to get this right. You know, you need to take a minute and take a breather to get yourself in order. You know, because sometimes we can be so out of order that God sends somebody with wisdom to tell you about it and help you get yourself right. We are all God's children, and we got to get ourselves right with God. And this is what it says, where can I look for good advice? And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. I love Dr. Stanley. And I love the fact that he breaks it down with the word of God. And this is what he says. God often leads us to seek advice from others. When he does so, he wants us to check out the lifestyle of the person from whom we ought to receive counsel. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10, then we had better know where the person stands with the Lord. Why should a believer go to a non-believer to get advice that will affect the rest of his life? Some may question such an approach, but I challenge you to consider the spiritual and moral track record of anyone from whom you obtain important advice or counsel, especially if the decision you make affects your entire family and future. And all I can say is I made some stupid decisions in my life, you know, thinking I'm hearing from God when it wasn't God. And I can tell you this, and this is where I've gotten to the point where I had to learn some lessons. If what you think is from God, will it help you or will it hurt you? If it will hurt you, if it will take you backwards instead of forward, it's probably not from God. But God will allow the enemy to come in and tempt you to do stuff that is not from God, but you think it is. God will take what you think is important and you will lose it. Will one day be found, but it won't be found until God says so. You got to stop and take a minute. Take, as they say, take a breather, because you can mess your life up. Put yourself 10 years behind what you already had. You was on the road to recovery, and then you mess it up by stepping 5 steps back because you thought you were hearing God. You got to stop and weigh a thing before you say, oh, this is from the Lord. God will tell you, go to the word and see if it's from me. If it's not going to do, it's going to hurt you, it's not from me. You know, we got to stop and say, put a break on it. God work in your life. We got to break some stuff. And it says this, some counselors dispense unscriptural advice that leads to ruin and destruction. Yet Proverbs 14:12 warns, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, and that is the truth. Proverbs has a lot to say about the value of wise counsel. Proverbs 13:10 declares, my pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 15:22 proclaims, without counsel, plans go away, and in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And Proverbs 20:5 instructs us, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I remember when, and this is Charles Stanley speaking about something that his grandfather told him. And his grandfather told him that, he said, Charles, whatever you do in life, always obey God fully. And that's good advice for all of us. In whatever we do in life, always obey God fully. If he tells you to do to run your head through a brick wall, go forward, expecting him to make a hole. I have never forgotten that advice, and it has remained a main grinder of truth supporting my personal ministry over the last many decades, and it reminds me that the most important counsel we can ever get comes from the Lord himself, and that is so true. In this ministry that I do, this moving forward ministry, I believe the word of God 100%. I trust in God's word, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to meditate on it, because I realize that when I don't have this word, I can get cranky. I can have a moment. So I ask God to forgive me. When I, you know, it's like, Lord, I have not gotten into my word like fully like I should have this morning. And I get a little cranky. I got to have my word every day. It's like, you know, the person that's got to have their cup of coffee. I got to have my word every day. It gets me through, and it'll get you through too. It says, regardless of the situation or circumstance, we should always go first to God for his counsel. We should tell our own souls what King Jehoshaphat told the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today, 1 Kings 22:5. When we do so, we go to the wellspring of all wisdom. For we go to the Lord of hosts who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Isaiah 28:29. And let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And we are coming out of Luke still. And we're going to talk Luke chapter 6 and we're going to go through Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 6 through Luke chapter 7. So please join me in Luke. And this morning I will be still coming out of the NIV. Luke chapter 6. And it says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain field, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, taking the consecrated bread. He ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand completely restored." Bam. "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples in and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, woo, hallelujah, and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for this is how their ancestors treated the prophets. For woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Love for enemies. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back, as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them." What a word. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Judging others. Got to keep that tongue by tying your teeth. And it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. A tree and its fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from bears. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what is in the heart is full of, what the heart is full of. Your mouth speaks what your heart is full of. A wise and foolish builder, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Ask for everyone who comes to me and hears my words, them into a practice. I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. What a word. Ooh, God's word is good. It's just good today. Jesus heals the centurion servant, chapter 7 of Luke. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built a synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers, and under me I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Can y'all say that? Love one another and do good, because the Lord our God, he loves us and he does good. Whew. And, you know, I am not going to have time, I don't think, to get into the rest of our chapter 7 word, but we're going to continue to try to get as much in as we can. And then we'll come back and finish it up on tomorrow. And it says, raises the widow's dead son. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bear that was carrying him on, and the bear stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Jesus upholds John the Baptist in our words. John's disciples told him all about these things, calling two of them. He sent them to the Lord and asked, are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to come to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, gave sight to them who were blind. So he replied to the messenger, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Woo! But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. What a word this morning. Whew, thank you, Jesus. What a word. And just a couple of overviews from Luke chapter 6 and 7. And I, if y'all not filled up, I don't know. I sure am. Woo, what a word today. I am filled up. I have gotten a good breakfast this morning. Thank you, Lord. Whew, thank you, Lord, for this good, good breakfast. For you are a great Father. And it says this, Luke 6 and 9, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? Every law or commandment that God ever gave to his people, he gave for their own good. God takes no pleasure in laws that destroy our injury. So the answer to Jesus' question should have been obvious. It should have been obvious. And as we continue, in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, he is kind to the unthankful and evil. If God were not kind to the unthankful and evil, what would any of us be? God will always judge sin, but he most desires that we turn from our sin and come to him so that he can bless us, not judge us. Woo, hallelujah. Luke 6:44, every tree is known by its own fruit. What kind of fruit do you bear? How would your coworkers describe you? Your next door neighbor, your family. If you feel dissatisfied either with the quality or the amount of your fruit, what can you do about it? Come on now. Making us think today as well has given us a great meal. Thank you, God, for this word today. It has been rich, and it has been real, real, real good. In Luke chapter 7, verse 21, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. In prison, John had begun to doubt whether Jesus was the promised Messiah. In his grace, the Lord showed the discouraged John the truth. In the number and variety of his miracles, Jesus was doing what no Old Testament prophet had ever done. The Pharisees and lawyers reached the will of God for themselves, Luke 7:30. It is possible to reject the will of God for your life. This will never happen accidentally, however, or take place despite your desire. If you want God's will for your life, you can have it, but you have to choose it. And that is our word for this morning. Before we get out of here, some words from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And if time permits, I have a prayer for today. And the word from yesterday was this: be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. That's it. And this morning, a word from Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And all of that is all fit, sums up our word today. We got to love each other and do good. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. God has given us something to think about. And I pray that you all are thinking about what God has to say in his word this morning. And as we get ready to leave today, just a word of prayer. And it's the question today is this: are you perfect? Ask for God. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 18:31. It says, Lord, you are more than I can try to describe. When I feel the lack in my life, I remember the fullness of who you are, the perfection of your ways. Your love draws me in. It doesn't push me away with intimidation tactics. You know that it is kindness that draws people. Of course you know that. You designed us to be like you. You cover me as I trust in you. You hem me in behind and before, keeping me from stumbling. Your word is alive, breathing courage and passion into the most destitute souls. Who can describe your goodness? Who can recount the ways you have faithfully saved your people? You are constantly reaching out, not withholding any good thing that would benefit your children. You pour out your love so we can drink deeply and become just like you. I ask for fresh revelation of your greatness today, Lord. Shine your light in a way I haven't seen before. And a word for us is this: what are the best attributes you have seen God exhibit in your life? Something to think about. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. Find a Bible believing, Bible teaching church. Lead you and guide you. And let us seek, love others, and do good. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. It's time to go to church. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. It's time to go. Love y'all. Be blessed.